Jim, your offensive line, you had the same starting lineman all 16 games, all through the playoffs. How is that unit and the offense overall better prepared to go against the Ravens' pass rush than the last meeting on Thanksgiving?
Well, it's a big challenge, big task going against the Ravens' pass rush. Really good football players, really good scheme. They do a great job of rotating those down linemen. Do a good job rotating the outside backers as well. 10 guys that are rotating in there. Their first two playoff games, I think they were in there 92, 94 plays each of those games. And against the up-tempo offense of Denver and New England. So they got talented players that rotate in there, and it'd be a challenge and a task for us.
And, Jim, consequently, you guys don't rotate a whole lot of players on your defense. Could you see your defense wearing down at all late in the season and in the playoffs?
I really believe our team defense, our down line guys, our front seven guys, have a very high capacity for work. They're built that way, and I have seen our defense get stronger in the second half of games. So, you know, I think that's talented guys that are in great shape, strong guys.
Yeah, Coach, Colin Kaepernick, was the pistol, the read option, something that from the day you drafted him, you thought you might put some of that offense in for him? Or is it something that, you know, when you talked to his coach in college, or something that kind of evolved as you saw him practice?
Multiple choice there? Well, a combination, a little bit of each, but mainly something that our staff believes in, quarterback-driven runs, something that we've done at Stanford, and something that we did with Alex Smith and Colin. And definitely, you know, it's been more with Colin in there. He's extremely good at it.
So you drafted him for that type of offense, in a sense. You had the offense first, and then you drafted him.
Well, yeah, that would be the more of the order there. But Colin Kaepernick is, you know, extremely gifted in that part of the game.
Hey, Jim, how do your parents feel being the most famous parents during Super Bowl week and leading up to the Super Bowl? And are they excited, nervous? How are they feeling?
I'm sorry.
Just how your parents are feeling being the most popular parents and most famous parents in America during Super Bowl week. How are they feeling right now?
I know they're excited, and talked to them a few times. They're very much looking forward to the game.
Hey, Coach. There's a few days ago, President Obama made a comment that if he had a son, he wasn't sure he would want his son to play football. Are you concerned that there's a perception that the game of football is unsafe and that a lot of parents might feel that way?
Well, I have a 4-month-old, almost soon to be 5-month-old son, Jack Harbaugh, and President Obama feels that way, then be a little less competition for Jack Harbaugh when he gets older. That's the first thing that jumps into my mind if other parents are thinking that way. But it's still early. Jack is, like I said, only 5 months old, but he's a really big kid. He's got an enormous head. And
what's his 40 time?
His we don't have a 40 on him yet, but his wingspan is a +1. As soon as he grows into that head, he's going to be something. But it's early, but expectations are high for young Jack.
Coach, through the season, a majority of your team's runs went to the center and to the left. Is that a situation where Upati and Staley are so strong you almost don't need to mix it up as much as some other teams might want to?
Well, I don't know about your facts. What are you saying? How'd you phrase it?
The majority? Left. Yes.
What, 51% or?
No, a rather over a high majority.
Really? What are those? Do you have I don't have the statistics on that.
I believe
I don't have the
numbers
on that. We feel pretty good running to either side. I think that would be those numbers may be more of a coincidence than a mindset.
Jim, right here.
Over here.
From your time at Stanford and now with the 49ers, you've had outstanding tight end play. How important is that to the success in the league to have a tight end that's able to do something for you offensively in terms of pass catching?
We've always believed in that, the tight end, the fullback. When I got my first coaching job at the University of San Diego, called my coach, Bo Schembechler, and told him that I was head coach at the University of San Diego. And before he said congratulations or anything, he said, "Jimmy, tell me you're going to have a tight end that puts his hand in the ground in on every snap. Tell me that you will have a fullback that lines directly behind the quarterback and a halfback in the I formation." Yes, coach, we will have those. Good. Congratulations on getting your job. We've had some really good tight ends, no question about it. The importance of the tight end, we believe, is twofold, in the passing game and key in the running game to set the edge for our offensive formations and running attack. Vernon Davis, Delaney Walker, and Garrick Selleck, really, really happy with Garrick's emergence as an ascending player. Vernon, arguably the best tight end in the National Football League because he is a great pass catcher. He is a tremendous route runner. He's blessed with, you know, the 4.2, 4.3, 4.3 speed. And Delaney Walker really is kind of like our Swiss Army knife. He can do just about anything in terms of block, catch, run, motion and formation, change formation. So we're really, really blessed to have those three men.
Coach, in the back to your right. Back. As you know, everything's analyzed and scrutinized Super Bowl week. Just wanted to ask about your sideline accessory, the Sharpie necklace you fashioned since your days in San Diego as a head coach. You're the only head coach I've seen wear a necklace like that with a pen. Can you tell us where that tradition came from and why don't more coaches do it?
Well, I take great offense that you call it a necklace. It's a whistle. It's a coach's whistle that coaches have long worn around the neck. I believe every coach should have a whistle. Hard to imagine going out to practice without a whistle. And then just put a pen onto the whistle string. It's not complicated at all.
Yeah, Jim.
If you need a pen, it's just right there.
Jim, a double question on the Smiths. Can you just talk about Alden and how he's come so far so fast in your 2 years? And then just Justin, you know, what you inherited there and just the importance of him to your team and to Alden.
Sure. Alden has had a tremendous year for us, tremendous 2 years for our football team. His players and coaches voted Alden as our most valuable player this past year. I think that speaks volumes for the kind of impact that he had on our team. And that was an internal vote. Justin Smith is one of the greatest players to ever play in the National Football League. He is the kind of player that everybody should have a Justin Smith. Everybody should have a Justin Smith on their team. Great talent, great character, great leader, and along with Patrick Willis, the core and fabric of our leadership on defense.
Hey, Jim, how much leeway did Bo give you when you were playing at Michigan? And do you try to emulate him as a coach?
the same amount of leeway that the other quarterbacks had. Is that what you're talking about in terms of play calling? Or?
Well, I don't think Rick Leach had as much leeway as you did, for example.
I don't know.
Okay. Further.
What was the other part of the question?
Do you try to emulate him now? I know you answered the question about the tight end, but further.
Yeah. Well,
how much of a role model was he?
Role model, next to my dad, you know, right on the same level as my dad, is Bo Schembechler. That is, to me, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game. And also have studied Woody Hayes quite extensively, and I believe those two men to be, along with my dad, in my mind, young mind and old mind today, the three coaches that I try most to emulate.
Jim, what impact did the loss to the Giants in last year's NFC Championship game have on the evolution of this San Francisco team? And do you remember what message you had for the team after that heartbreaking loss?
Well, I think life is full of bitter disappointments. That was one, but that we weren't defeated. You can kill a man, but you can't defeat him, not as long as he has hope. And we set out to start from ground zero to approach a new season.
Jim, can you talk about how important it was for you to be able to bring Vic with you to San Francisco and to talk about the impact he's had on your defense?
Well, it's been tremendous. Vic Fangio and Greg Roman, I look at our teams and us, and we've gone, our lives have gone nowhere but up since those two men joined our teams, both at Stanford and with the San Francisco 49ers. I really believe them to be, two of the best coordinators in all of football. Greg Roman, you say, who's the best? Who's the best? I mean, Greg Roman's the best. He's the best coordinator in football. I really believe that. Innovative. I think he's changed a lot about football this season in terms of, bringing the trap back to football, bringing the counters back to football, bringing wham plays back into football, some of the formations that we use back into football. He's got a creative mind. He is a tremendous football coach, and Vic Fangio, right along with Greg. I mean, those are two of the best, and our team has benefited greatly.
Hey, Jim, I had a question about your dad in Western Kentucky. When they won the national title in 2002, where did you watch that game? And I guess what were your emotions given your relationship and connection to your dad in the program?
Well, I watched that in Oakland. It was the best game on TV I've ever watched, best football game that I could ever remember watching on TV, and just really proud of my dad and his coaches and the players that won that national championship. Pardon? Oh, the best game I ever watched on TV?
Yeah.
I just remember thinking that and saying that to people I was watching with it. That's the best football game I've ever watched on TV.
Because it was such a great game, or because that was your dad winning a national title?
I think both those things.
Jim, do you hold on to slights or insults the same way that you did as a player now that you're a coach?
I don't.
And use them as fuel for yourself.
Possibly.
Coach. Coach, Stacey Dales, NFL Network. When you sit down, given 2 weeks to prepare for this team, and you watch the tape on Joe Flacco, knowing the position as well as you do, what do you see?
Outstanding quarterback, winning quarterback. Just a tremendous habit of success. He's just left a trail of that behind him, and continues to do so.
tremendous throwing action, arm talent, and you know, a winning quarterback. I mean, he's a football player. Don't know you can give a guy a higher compliment than that, and he certainly is.
Jim, can you describe Alex Smith's role during the week of practice, what his duties are, and has he done more or has he been more or less involved with, say, game planning since he became the backup?
Really, it's been the same. He's prepared and been involved in the game planning and the preparations, and he's prepared himself as the starter each week. That's what he's done. That's what we have expected of him, and that's what he's delivered. The thing, another person really to credit in Colin's success, because Alex has really, you know, helped coach Colin. He's been you know, right there at his side, sitting in the meetings every single day, and he coaches Colin now more than I do, and that's you know, speaks volumes for the kind of person and teammate that Alex Smith is.
Coach, a lack of sacks from Alden Smith over the last five games. How much of that was that Justin Smith's absence and his sort of injury? And then sacks are kind of an overcooked number. He's still getting enough hurries and pressures. Mm-hmm. Is there any concern about his ability to disrupt the quarterback in general as opposed to just sacks?
A couple things there. I think, I mean, Justin not being in there, you know, probably plays a part in that. We love having Justin in there, you know, and but the play of Alden has been really good. Alden got a game ball from our team off of his performance in the Falcons game. Pressures, a number of pressures and hurries, and really played the run extremely well. Covered the fumble. You know, did a overall thorough, very good game from Alden. And even, you know, when you don't have the sacks there, you know, that low-hanging fruit for people to see, they don't always see the things that Justin's doing or Alden's doing game in and game out. He's playing at a very high level. And that's why our team voted him most valuable player.
Jim, back over here to your left. Your hotel here, Team Hotel, is located between the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, and the casino. I'm just wondering what kind of conversations you've had with your players about those sorts of temptations and what kind of curfews you'll have in effect during the week.
You know, it's something that some of the players have addressed, and we've talked about very, very little. And we trust our team. Some people, I saw comment on the fact that the team wasn't taking pictures or video cameras when they were coming off the flight last night. That was not addressed by anybody. Nobody talked about that. That was, you know, just something that our team didn't do for some reason. But you know, suffice it to say, we trust our team.